going to Nashville and Memphis.
Yeah.
Super pumped and doing that book series thing.
Right.
Sydney getting his house turned up.
Awesome.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Gloria, you know, getting a new position at a nonprofit she's going to be working for. You know, these are just some amazing examples of what God's really been doing.
Yes.
And man, you know, this lesson, when we're reading Exodus chapter 5, I really just think a very powerful takeaway is faith and how following God requires faith.
Right.
And go ahead and title your notes, Following God Requires Faith.
Go ahead.
And that's what it's going to be about. You know, we were just listening to that song, and there's a part of the song where he's like, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, Lord. You know, and I'm just like, man, that is faith. It was pretty encouraging. I'm so encouraged to see how God is continuing to work in the kingdom. So let's go ahead, before we go any further, let's go ahead and God work. Mm-hmm. Dear God, thank you that we're able to meet together this morning. And I love this U-shaped shape that we got going on here. Definitely different. I really feel like it makes us more like family. So I just pray that, you know, you can speak through me, God, and that we just really are able to have faith that everything is in control, God, by you.
Amen.
And I pray all these things.
Amen.
Man, so we're going to be reading Exodus 5, and we're going to be turning to one reference scripture. It's going to be in Luke 23, towards the end of the lesson. So go ahead, bookmark that now in Luke chapter 23. And there's going to be four main points that I really think this chapter gives me. And, you know, they all are centered around the different steps of faith. And previously, my dad gave the lesson on chapter 4. And chapter 4, God gives Moses and Aaron orders to address Pharaoh. And God tells them, go up to that man Pharaoh, and you tell him to let my people go. As we read this story, let's think about some ways we can be more faithful in our walk with God. Because I know Moses definitely needed a lot of faith to do what he ended up doing. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead and start dissecting the scripture. We're going to start reading verse 1, Bricks Without Straw. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. So, I love context. I think context is really important. So, I just think it's interesting how, you know, Moses is going up to, you know, this God-like figure. And Pharaoh was supposedly the child of the sun, according to all of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Right? So, he was God. And there was no legislator, even remotely.
Right.
And I like to compare this situation to the story of Esther, you know. I mean, she stood up to the king and persuaded him not to execute the Jews. You know, Moses standing up to Pharaoh, trying to persuade him. You know, they could have died. You know, right. Who knows? I mean, that's the power that they had. They could have killed him if they wanted to. But they had faith.
Amen.
They had faith.
Amen.
Yep.
And we're going to watch a video later on towards the middle of the lesson to kind of really envision and get a good, you know, cool representation of what this process might have looked like. And just thinking about Moses going back to Egypt, you know, that's where he grew up. Moses could have lived a life of abundance in Egypt, but he decided to run away. And I'm sure the nostalgia is really kicking in. You know, just his heart's pounding, he's really nervous. And, you know, although God gave him a lot of assurance, like, hey, this is what's going to happen. It's going to look bad at first. You know, I mean, I would still really struggle to have faith because we're human. And that really leads me into my first point, is just faith through obedience. Faith through obedience. So let's go ahead And look at verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." So I like to look at this verse like Pharaoh's kind of mocking Moses.
Right.
You know, I think it's clear to kind of clear that Pharaoh isn't actually asking who is God. I think it's more of Pharaoh knows who this God figure is that Moses is referring to, and he knows that, you know, this God has allowed his, you know, the Hebrews to be enslaved to him for 400 years, so he's probably thinking, like, you know, how powerful is this God? Like, how, you know, I mean, he must not be all that great if, you know, they've enslaved us for 400 years. And, I mean, he's mocking God, really. So, I mean, I just think that's really interesting. Let's go ahead and read verses 3 through 9. "Then they said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord, our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword.' But the king of Egypt said, 'Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work.' Then Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working.' That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and overseers in charge of the people: 'You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the people so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies.'" Call them a bunch of liars. All right. Well, the first question I have is, why does God tell Moses to only ask for 3 days off? You know, it's like, God knows, Moses knows what God's plan is.
Right.
You know, Moses is like, 3 days? Like, I mean, it's kind of deceitful, right? you know, but I think if we really dig deep, we see that God is smart, and he's got a strategy. And God wanted to expose Pharaoh's heart.
Mm-hmm.
If he wasn't willing to let the people go for just 3 days, mm-hmm. just 3 days, a simple request, he wouldn't ever be willing to let him go forever, right?
Right.
So, good thing is, God is smart, and he had an alternative plan, right? So, we're going to see that continue to, you know, be lived out here in the scripture. And in the meantime, Pharaoh's increasing the load of the Israelites. He's telling them, you know, y'all are going to have to get your own straw now. It's going to be harder for y'all to make bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And for 400 years, the Hebrews valued their ability, they were valued by their ability to place down bricks.
Right.
You know, there might have been some other stuff that they were responsible for, but that's pretty much what they did. You know, they placed down bricks for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently. And then Moses comes along after 400 years of consistency,
mm-hmm.
and everything gets dismantled. Everything just kind of gets messed up. And I'm sure, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I'm sure Moses is thinking, like, man, I was not expecting that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes having faith when you're obedient, back to the first point, has its challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But the awesome thing is, on the other side of those challenges, we get to look forward to God's victories that he has for us. Because I think the biggest challenges always come with the biggest victories. Let's talk about some victories in the kingdom. I mean, the Normans wanting to move to Jackson.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know my mom started a book club, Finding Corey Along the Way. That is a victory. I said it earlier. Cindy's been working hard trying to get this new house.
Right.
Despite all that paperwork, brother, I'm a college student. I hate paperwork too. Okay, but I guess it's just part of life. And a lot of these things require faith. And they might still require faith and hard work. You know, it's a continuous process, right? But when we decide to persevere, push through, have obedience, God is going to give us victories.
That's right.
And it can be challenging, which leads us to point number two, faith through challenges. Mm-hmm. So there's being obedient, and then when you decide to be obedient, oftentimes the world pushes back, mm-hmm. and you have to face a lot of challenges.
Wow.
So mm-hmm. let's go ahead and continue reading. Then the slave drivers and the overseers went out and said to the people, "This is what Pharaoh says, I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all." So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw." And Pharaoh's slave drivers beat the Israelite overseers they had appointed, demanding, "Why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today as before?" So, the Israelites, they obey, right? They decide to obey Pharaoh. They don't rebel or anything. But although they obeyed, we're going to get to see here in a little bit, well, maybe their hearts weren't pointed towards God, mm-hmm. right? And we're going to watch a video here shortly, not just yet, but shortly. So let's go ahead and continue reading. Let me see how I'm doing on time. I've been talking that long.
All right,
verse 15. Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. "Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, 'Make bricks.' Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that is what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to the Lord.' Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." The Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, "You were not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." So, when the Israelites were tasked with harder work than before, who did they turn to? They turned to Pharaoh and Moses.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They did not turn to God.
Mm.
And I can oftentimes do the same thing.
Mm.
Do we ever look for someone or something else to blame?
Mm.
Right?
Come on.
Instead of having faith that God will work through us. Cindy once said in a Bible study, I thought this was really profound. I'm sure he pulled it out from scripture somewhere, but the world might do something that inevitably causes sin, but God and his disciples can use it for good. And instead of looking for something to blame or whatever, we can use those times and challenging times, like we see here, Israel being tasked with harder work. We can use those challenging times to win people over to Christ. So whenever we're challenged, you know, maybe we should start thinking about how can we use our current situation to win people over to Christ. When things get hard, how can we win people over to Christ? We choose to be obedient. Challenges choose to come our way, but how do we respond to those challenges?
That's right.
And before we turn to Luke chapter 23, Richard is going to play us a video, and I think it's really going to help us visualize and just build a perspective. I love watching YouTube videos, all right? So I really think this is going to be awesome. It's a couple minutes, so go ahead. You can start, Richard.
"I do not know this God,
Neither will I let your people go.
Ramses, please, you must listen.
I will not be the weak link. Tell your people, as of today, their workload has been doubled, thanks to your god. Or is it thanks to you?
Moses!
So, Moses, how does it feel when you get struck to the ground?
I didn't mean to cause you more pain. I'm just trying to do as God told me.
God? When did God start caring about any of us? In fact, Moses, when did you start caring about slaves? Was it when you found out that you were one of us?
Don't listen to him.
I did not see because I did not wish to see.
You didn't see because you didn't wish to see. Ah!
That makes it fine then.
Aaron! Shame yourself.
I think the next scene, he turns the river into blood. But just really seeing how Moses, you know, it was just the emotion that I get, and my heart feels so compelled to want to make a difference, to want to take that step of faith. You know, Moses' own people hated him. And he was like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm only doing what God's told me to do.
Right.
And I think sometimes that's the only response we can have. Mm-hmm. There doesn't need to be an explanation for why things aren't, people don't like you or why things aren't going well. You know, we're only doing what God's calling us to do.
Amen.
And, you know, I always like to think about Jesus. And at the end of the day, who is the perfect, you know, Moses is an amazing example, but the perfect example is Jesus.
That's right, yeah.
And so, let's take a look and maybe see how he responded to adversity or unfair treatment in Luke chapter 23. That's right, I told y'all in advance.
That's right.
All right.
Are we still on point number two?
No. But point three is coming.
Oh,
it's coming.
Okay.
And then there's going to be a point four.
All right. Be patient, Mom. Okay.
All right. Luke 23, verse 34. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And and they divided up into my casting lots. So Jesus didn't speak a lot in this passage, but he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. When people are beating him, when he's getting crucified on the cross, that's what he says. What can we take away from Jesus' response to persecution? How can we be more like Jesus during adversity? Or maybe when we're dealing with our own sin? I think at the end of the day, Jesus loved people. And that's what it comes down to. And it doesn't matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we're never in too much pain to love other people.
That's right.
We're never in too much pain to have faith in God's plan. Which leads me to point number three. Respond to challenges with a Christ-like heart.
Come on.
Just like Jesus did. You gotta be obedient. There's gonna be challenges. And we, in point number three, we have to respond to those challenges with a Christ-like heart. Yeah. So let's go ahead, turn back to Exodus 5, and we're going to go ahead and start closing it out. We're on verse 22. God promises deliverance. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." So, to this point, Moses' leadership hasn't made anything better for the Israelites. It's only gotten worse up until now. But I'll give Moses this. At least he's pouring out his heart to Christ.
Amen.
You know, that's an example that we could follow. And just like Moses, just like me, we can be so forgetful. And I tend to be forgetful when I become impatient. Mm-hmm. But God literally told Moses not long ago that this would happen. That initially Pharaoh is not going to be okay with this. That challenges are going to come your way. And then Moses, he's saying, "Yo, God, you know, why'd you send me? You know, things aren't working." And that leads me to kind of the takeaway question for this message. And it kind of ties into point number three, which is point number four. How can we have faith and respond to challenges like Jesus? Wow. And just to close things out here, in chapter 6, we're going to see God's response to Moses. And just, I really wanted to think about, you know, how can we, in adversity, have faith like Jesus? You know, how can we pour our heart out to God like Moses?
Right.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Chapter 6, we're going to see what God's response is. Thank you to God.
Amen.
Oh.